It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Book of John, John chapter 11. We're going to begin reading with verse 43 and we'll read to the end of the chapter. So while you're looking that up, John chapter 11, verse 43, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. I'd like to invite you now to study the Word with us. John chapter 11, beginning to read with verse 43. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, "Loose him, and let him go." Then many of the Jews, which came to Mary, and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees, and told them what things Jesus had done. Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council, and said, "What do we? For this man doeth many miracles. If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation." And one of them, named Caiaphas, being the high priest that same year, said unto them, "Ye know nothing at all, nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation perish not." And this spake he not of himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for the nation, and not for the nation only, but that also he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. Then from that day forth they took counsel together for to put him to death. Jesus, therefore, walking no more openly among the Jews, but went thence unto a country near to the wilderness, unto a city called Ephraim, and there continued with his disciples. The Jews' Passover was nigh at hand, and many went out of the country up to Jerusalem before the Passover to purify themselves. Then sought they for Jesus, and spake among themselves as they stood in the temple, "What think ye, that he will not come to the feast?" Now both the chief priests and the Pharisees had given a commandment that if any man knew where he were, they should show it, that they might take him. Let's begin with a word of prayer before we begin the study. Father, we thank you as we can come together and study your word today. It's been a wonderful day. Each day is a great day that you have given us. Thank you for your salvation. You've given us the means to be saved and the power and the ability to do it. Thank you, Lord. Please now that you would teach us your word and that we may learn from your precious word, learn your way and will for our lives. Now speak to our hearts, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We look to John chapter 11 here in verse 43, and when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said unto them, "Loose him, let him go." Oh, as we look to this verse of Scripture, verse 43 and 44, I believe that there were many that were raised from the dead. There's only one that is listed, but I do believe there were others, as there were so many miracles that were performed by the Lord Jesus, as he healed one after another, and many of those things, there just isn't enough volumes in reams of paper to write and record all the things that the Lord Jesus did when he was here upon this earth. But he does record for us so that we can see that it has taken place. And so as we look to this, we find this man named Lazarus, which was a very close friend of the Lord Jesus. Lazarus had two sisters, Mary and Martha. We've been through the conversation concerning the resurrection. Verse 25 says of the same chapter, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me should never die. Believest thou this?" That's a question I want to start the lesson with today. And if you will think of that, "Believest thou this?" And as we carry through that, understand the only way you can be saved is to come by faith to the Lord Jesus. As we looked at the verse 43, and the call went forth from the Lord Jesus. And that's the only means of salvation, saving power that we have, is through God and by His Son, the Lord Jesus. And He spoke to Lazarus and said, "Come forth." Now we look to verse 44. He that was dead came forth. But I want you to see how did he come forth. He come forth bound hand and foot with the grave clothes. Now, I want you to see this, because when we come to the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus, and as you probably well know, the Lord Jesus Christ received, he came out of that grave and had His glorified body. He no longer had that earthly body. He had His glorified body. We know, according to Revelation and other areas of Scripture, that His nail-scarred hands will always be evident. They'll always be there. Because it's one thing that He will do. He will show His hands. And so as we stand before the Lord Jesus Christ here and think of Him being raised from the dead, as He will be, you know, the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus, let's go back just a little bit and look back into the tomb where Jesus was laid after He was crucified. We find that stone was rolled away, which did not need to be rolled away for Jesus to get out. It did need to be rolled away that we could see in. And so as we look in, what do we see? Remember what the Word tells us? We find the grave clothes, the napkin wrapped around His head, and the grave cloth laying. What did Lazarus, if you would look, as he had the men roll the stone away, because Lazarus could not come forth without coming, without the door of the tomb being open. He came out, he still had the grave clothes on. You see, Lazarus has not received his glorified body. Lazarus still has his old body. Jesus just raised it again. He just put life back in it again, into the same old body. And that body came forth, and we find, according to the 10th, the 11th and the 12th chapter of John, here as we visit over Lazarus being present and what has taken place. But I want you to see that there is a resurrection of Lazarus, but his resurrection brought him back into his old physical body. He still had the grave clothes on. You see, he still was going to have to face death once again. Oh, to face death twice, that's terrible. You know, to come to the Lord Jesus Christ, we can, yes, maybe have to face a physical death, but we will never have to face a spiritual death. Well, we find here that Lazarus, as he faced that physical death and went into the grave, we know that he went into the place of paradise, a place that was a place for those that died in Jesus Christ, those that come by faith to the Lord Jesus, and remained there until the Lord Jesus finished it on the cross, and then I believe He took them all home to heaven with Him. Oh, what a wonderful time Lazarus was having. And then we find that Jesus brought him back to life. But his physical life, he still had the old grave clothes on. He still had the old flesh, didn't he? Well, Jesus, when he came out of the grave, he had his glorified body. He did not need the stone rolled away to get out, as Lazarus required. He did not have the grave clothes on. They were laying. See, he no longer needed those. We will receive our glorified bodies. There will be a time that we will have the opportunity to receive our glorified bodies. Lazarus will as well, but not at this time. Not now. Oh, and he had to tell him, "Loose him, let him go. Loose him, let him go." You know, I think that's exactly the words that Jesus comes into our heart and into our life when we come by faith to Him, and He turns to the old devil and old to sin, and He says, "Loose him, let him go, because he is free. He has been set free by Me," Jesus Christ can say. And He has the power and the strength to say, "Been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ." It's wonderful to be a Christian and to be saved and to be set free. Loose him, let him go. And that's exactly the words I can tell you today. And you need to come by faith to Jesus Christ and be saved and be loosed from that sin. Get victory, total victory, my friend, in Jesus Christ. forgiven of your sin. Your sin has been set aside from you, never to return when you come by faith to Jesus Christ. Oh, yes, you still live in the old flesh as Lazarus did. He still had those grave clothes on, and it had to be announced to him by the Lord Jesus, take those off. There'll be a time that we'll receive a glorified body. There'll be a time Lazarus will receive a glorified body. But right now, we can have that promise set before us, knowing that even if we have to go into the grave, that there'll be a time that we will be in the presence of God. And if we go into that grave, our soul will be in the presence of the Lord Jesus immediately, not years down the line, not later. As Lazarus went into the place of paradise immediately, and his body slept. They knew what happened to a body. That body stinks, it says back in 39. Been in that ground, been in that grave, in that cave, been in there too many days, been in there 4 days, the end of verse 39 tells us. He's been dead 40 days, or 4 days, not 40 days, 4 days. What can be, how terrible can it be? Jesus can restore that body, bring him back to life. Had the people open the stone, pull the stone away from the tomb, open the tomb so that he could come out and see that Jesus Christ has the power to give life. I hope you can see that today, that Jesus Christ has the power to give life. We look on down to verse 45 now. And then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. How wonderful. I hope today that you're listening to the Word of God and you're believing today. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them the things that Jesus had done. There's always some. There's always those that criticize, those that doubt. Are you one that doubts, that you don't believe, you've never come by faith to Jesus Christ, and you just refuse to believe it no matter how many miracles are performed? Each time someone that you know comes to Jesus Christ and their life changes, you're still in doubt. You still question instead of saying, yes, I see how powerful God is. God can forgive my sin. God can set me free. But you see what happens. And we know it according to Luke chapter 16, verse 31. If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. No matter how powerful the miracle is, no matter what miracle was performed in healing this individual, no matter, there'll still be some that refuse to believe. And the sad thing is that it's not just some, it's a multitude that refuse to believe. And oh, please, that you don't be a part of that multitude. We need to, today, as we're in the church age, and when we have received the Word of God, we have stopped witnessing the speaking in tongues, the miraculous healing that was going on by the apostles at the time. All that was set aside. That was a special gift that was given to the apostles for the beginning of the church to prove that it was of God's power. We have the Word of God now recorded for us and in our hands, and we no longer have those things. Oh, yes, I believe God is a miracle worker. I believe that God can perform and heal at any time, but not an individual as the apostles. There isn't a man that has that special power of healing today. The man that thinks he has a special power and quality of prophesying, and he does it in speaking in tongues, he is prophesying and he is speaking in tongues, but it is not of the Spirit of God. It's of another spirit. And as we look to the Word of God and listen to the Word of God, we need to know the truths of it, and we need to know that many people will reject the truth. no matter how many miracles, how powerful they are. And again, Luke 16:31, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Lazarus was raised from the dead, and oh, it brought quite a stir to the community, to the point that as we study shortly, they're going to wonder what to do with both of them, Jesus and Lazarus, because of the proof that was there. You had thought that those miracles were so strong that no one could doubt it and that all would come to Jesus Christ. But they refused to believe. No matter how great the miracles, there's going to be so many, a multitude that will believe. Will you listen to that still small voice that's speaking to your heart as the Holy Spirit calls you to come to Jesus? Will you stop looking for these great miracles and things, because even those as they would come would not make the difference for you? You need to come by faith to Jesus. Yes, some come, the Scripture tells us, but some of them went their ways to the Pharisees. We find above that some, and they had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on Him. Yes, some come, because they had and received by faith Jesus Christ. But even though the miracles were strong, the miracles were mighty, the miracles were beyond what any man could perform, yet they still chose to refuse it and not to believe it. Many did. Some of them went their ways. That's what you're doing today. You're just going your way. We need to bring you to the Lord Jesus. The death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. There's plenty of evidence. There's evidence in the Word of God. There's evidence in your heart as the Holy Spirit calls you. But you just won't believe. Please that you come to Jesus today and trust in Him. As these went to the Pharisees and told them the things that Jesus had done, verse 47 now, then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, "What do we? For this man doeth many miracles." They didn't question that the miracles were being performed. They knew it. They could not hide them. You would have thought then there'd been no question. Yet this is God. This is the Savior of the world. I must confess my sin and come to Him as He calls me to do. But instead of that, they didn't deny the miracles. They just was trying to figure out what to do with them. Is that the way you are today? You have walked so long away from God and in service from God, and now you just continue to deny it. How long, my friend, are you going to stand separated and away from God? They saw the miracles, they believed them. We have the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Some say that the Sadducees were the liberal religious bunch and the Pharisees were the conservative. See, they had an end too. And neither group were really saved. Very religious, but they weren't saved. And as these two were really enemies in because of what they believed so contrary to each other. One believed in the resurrection, the other didn't. There are many different beliefs, and yet they joined together to destroy the truth and to destroy Jesus Christ. That was their goal. The religious people. Have you looked today lately to see in your group, the people that you go to church with, the preacher that preaches to you, are they giving you the truth? Are they telling you the truth? Is your Sunday school teacher Sunday school teacher, I don't go to Sunday school, I'm an adult. That's the way people look at it today. Oh, that you would desire to hear the Word of God and desire to hear the truth proclaimed, that your ears would hear it. And you would come to Jesus and confess your sin and trust in Him as your Savior. Oh, that would take place today. Or have you joined with all the rest of them in this great ecumenical movement as all the churches in the community come together and they have all the, you have this service, all have this service. Why? Well, it's because these places have stopped preaching the gospel. And the death, burial, and resurrection, as we come together, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and His Word divides people. It doesn't draw them together. Oh, yes, it draws the true believers together. but not those that are not true believers. And yet today we have church after church getting together. One of them confesses that they preach the gospel, and another doesn't ever touch the gospel, Lord Jesus. Just social issues is all they ever talk about. And yet they're coming together to meet. They're joining in this church, in this church. Why? It's against the Word of God. But have you left the truth so much that you didn't know that? Or have you left the truth so much that you don't care? I do. This church believes and stands upon the truth, the Word of God. We love the Word of God, and we have a great fellowship here over the Word of God. We're not going to join with the enemies, with those that stand for all the other things other than the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You can come by faith to Jesus and Jesus alone. No works attached. And once you're saved, you're always saved. There's so many things, my friend, that are taught in the Word of God, but today are denied and not proclaimed clearly. Come to Jesus Christ by faith in Him alone, please. Again, verse 47, they didn't question the miracles, for this man doeth many miracles. Verse 48, if we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him. We've got to do something with Jesus because too many people are coming to him. They are seeing the miracles. They are trusting in him and following him. What can we do? We can't just let him go and let him do what he wants to do. We must do something with him. We must put him to death. We must confine him to jail. We must do something with him to stop this. And we find that they moved with fear, because the 48th verse tells us, if we let thus alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans shall come and take away both our place and the nation. Are you willing to trust by faith in Jesus Christ and walk after him? And by you coming by faith to Jesus, you step out by faith. And maybe that means that you have to leave the church that you're in because they don't teach the Word of God. They don't proclaim the gospel. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to stand alone upon the Word of God? Or will you compromise and stay there and make whatever reason you can, excuse that you want to make, that the reason you're staying there? Will you look and decide by fear, as these people, if this would happen, then if they all believe on him, then the Romans will come and they'll take away both our place and our nation. If they would just but trust in God, God gave them all that promised land, and the only reason they were losing it and had won over them and was captive by the Romans was because of their disobedience. Please don't fear man. Fear God. Come unto him. Trust in him. Reverence him. Walk after him. Serve him. Most of all and first of all, come by faith to him, to the Lord Jesus Christ and him alone. Stop depending on your church membership or your baptism or the Lord's Supper or works that you may perform in any way. Just come by faith to him and him alone. Please that you look to him. These people moved, and they moved with fear because they were afraid of what would happen if other people would come. Never be afraid of serving the Lord. Always knowing that that's the right thing to do is to come by faith to Jesus. Come to him, please. I keep pleading with you and asking you to come. In verse 49, we have quite a conversation here, and I want you to see it. One of them, named Caiaphas, being the high priest that same year, said unto them, do ye know nothing at all, nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation perish not? And this spake he not of himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for the nation, and not for the nation only, but that also he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. Listen to what this man had to say. Well, he's a high priest. He knows what he's talking about. This Caiaphas, this high priest, is one called him a scheming politician. That was a statement that was made. He was not a man of God, and yet God gave words to him to speak, and he spoke them. And I believe as he was speaking them, I believe he even wondered what he was saying. Because for the first time, and probably the first time for a long, long time, he was saying the truth. And let's listen once again to what he said. Verse 50. Nor consider that it is expedient for us, it's good for us, that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation should perish not. And this spake he not of himself, again he was the high priest, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for that nation. What he was speaking was wonderful, wonderful words. Words of truth. And yet, again, he was not a believer. So you see, there can be false teachers out there that just mix up enough truth. Now there's a couple things to look at here. Did he speak that truth? Again, he was saying something that I don't even know if he knew what he was saying, but God was using him to say it. Was he speaking this to these people for one more time, that they would hear the truth, whether it be for himself or for those that were listening to him, that they would hear the truth? God uses a lot of different directions to preach the Word of God. And as you're sitting in that liberal church that doesn't preach the truth, now and then that old preacher of yours may even open up the Bible and read some truth. Well, you know what that's doing? Maybe he's not presenting it correctly. Maybe he's just reading something, but the word does not go void. And as that's proclaimed, your heart can be touched, and you will be without excuse. So you please listen today. Each time that you've heard the word as I've proclaimed it over this radio, time after time we've proclaimed the truth to you, that you will come. And many of you have come, I'm sure, but many of you have not. You have desired not to come, chosen not to come to Jesus. And as you've chosen not to come, when that day comes, the day of judgment, you will be without excuse. Because you've heard the Word of God. Will you please come by faith to Jesus Christ? Come by faith. Again, these words. It's expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation perish not. This spake he not of himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for that nation, and not for the nation only, but that also he should gather together in one the children of God which were scattered abroad. You see, he was already talking not only of the nation of Israel, salvation for them, but also for us, for the Gentiles. I don't believe he knew what he was talking about, because he was not a godly man. Yes, he was high priest, but it was a social, it was a political position. Is that what the position today is of most of the preachers today? Are you politically right? Are you saying the right things? Are you standing in an area where that you're not criticizing or complaining to anyone? And you're tickling their ears. I don't want to tickle your ears. I want you to hear and hear clearly the truth. Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary for you. Will you come by faith to him? Say, please, Jesus, will you forgive me of my sins and save me? My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?